You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Jordan Bastian, and Indians are coming off a brutal weekend in Detroit where, coming off the high of a two-game sweep of the Twins at home and still clinging to the life in the AL Central race, really got out of hand for them over the weekend, losing some late leads and losing a late lead on Saturday and on Sunday get the sweep completed. And that could be all she wrote for the Indians and their playoff hopes. They're going to have to really have a sensational last couple of weeks of the season to get in. Jordan, what was your sense, coming off of that weekend? People always ask this question, but the atmosphere in the locker room, the thoughts in the locker room, it had to be a really tough go for them.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I think, just talking to some of the players after the Tigers swept the Tribe, they weren't sugarcoating anything. I mean, the reality is now you basically need to win as many games as humanly possible or, that's all she wrote. So, a year ago, the Indians needed a miracle to get in, and they got one, but I'm not sure this team, as it's currently made up, is in a position to pull off something similar. That was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime type run in September, finishing the season on a 10-game winning streak. I think that only been done three or four times in baseball history to the way the Indians did it. So, that was such a rare thing, and the Indians have said all year this year, we can't rely on a 10-game winning streak, to finish the season to get into the playoffs. And here they're sitting, and that's basically what they need. So, they put themselves in a tough position. Obviously, throughout this season, there's been so many injuries, so many young players, so many down years for key guys. A lot of things have contributed to a situation that might have knocked another team even further down than the Indians are. So I think they've actually kind of overachieved to be in the thick of the playoff race as long as they have been this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. Certainly the last couple months playing with so many young guys in the lineup on a consistent basis, but you mentioned key guys who didn't really step up, not just in this stretch, but this season. Jason Kipnis has been a real lightning rod for that sort of criticism, just because he's had a really down year coming off the contract extension, and down here in the final stretch of September, hitting about 200, no home runs, no RBI, hasn't hit a home run since July 31st, in fact. So you really got to be concerned about where his power has gone. And defensively at second base, he's had his issues as well. There was the issue over the weekend where he gets into it on Twitter with a fan, which was just not a good look in general. But Francona kept riding him in the fifth spot. Hasn't taken off there here at the end of the season. But what's kind of the read on Kipnis this season? What do you think's going on with him? I know he had the oblique injury earlier in the year, so maybe that's something that's lingered. But what are your thoughts on him?
We talked with him last week kind of about a variety of those issues that you mentioned. And one thing is, he said he actually does now, and again, this is easy to say in hindsight, but he feels he put too much pressure on himself after signing the long-term extension where, a player can take it two ways of now I can relax and just focus on baseball, or now I need to really live up to the expectations. And he thinks that he personally kind of just put too much on his own shoulders and that got him off on the wrong foot. And then obviously the oblique injury really complicated things. And I do think that has lingered throughout the season and affected his power. I think it's really the only explanation for the dramatic drop-off in the slugging percentage. And, just from watching him on a day-to-day basis, what he did so well last year is he would take that outside pitch, and extend and kind of go opposite field and have so much power to the opposite field gap and off left field walls. And that just hasn't been there this year. And that's the type of pitch that he injured himself on in Anaheim was, swinging at an outside pitch, hurting that oblique. Talking to David Murphy, who suffered a right oblique injury recently, he said the same thing, that pitches that are inside where he can kind of drop his hands down and use his the speed of his wrists and everything, those pitches are fine, but it was those outside pitches that would really struggle.
you got to wonder, you know, long term, it's going to be a question as we look towards 2015. You know, part of Kipnis's value is the offense he provides at second base. He's obviously not providing it now. You move him to an outfield spot, which is something that idea has been kind of floated out there. He was originally an outfielder when he was drafted. You know, that offensive value is negated in some senses. Obviously, what he's doing offensively this season is going to cut it anywhere on the field. But just speaking in generalities here, I just wonder, you know, Jose Ramirez, the way he's performed at short. Obviously, Lindor is their guy long term at short. They hope, they think, you know, potentially as soon as April of 2015. Although Ramirez kind of buys them the ability to, you know, buy some time there, but you do have to wonder about a position switch for this guy in the long frame, don't you? For Kipnis, anyway.
Yeah, I think not only for him, but a guy like Lonnie Chisenhall as well, who has such dramatic platoon splits, and also has, you know, had his struggles at third base. So, you know, I think those are two guys, two left-handed bats, two core pieces, you know, in Cleveland's view that, you know, as we look forecasting over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, and trying to figure out how these guys fit into the puzzle. And you do have a young kid like Jose Ramirez emerging, Lindor, you know, waiting in the wings. It is an interesting concept. You know, Chisenhall has been used, you know, he's done like pregame work in the outfield. You know, he came up as a shortstop, so third base was not his natural position when he first came into the professional ball. You know, and he's been shown a willingness to bounce around, and, you know, so maybe that's something they look at next spring. Kipnis, obviously, as you mentioned, came up as an outfielder, so he has that athleticism. I don't think they're ready to make that type of switch yet, but you can definitely go, you know, go into spring next year, see how he looks after the off season. I know he took a little bit of heat for coming into camp a little bit, you know, thicker than he was in previous seasons, but, you know, he didn't say that was an issue, and early in the year it didn't look to be an issue, but obviously as the season has progressed, you know, I don't know if you want to say he's worn down or anything, but as you know, the power numbers just aren't there, and he just doesn't look like the same guy they had last year. So maybe the oblique played part of it. Maybe the contract pressure played part of it. It's going to be important next year for him to kind of, you know, bounce back from this and show, you know, why the Indians invested as much money as they did in him.
Yeah. On the flip side, a guy who did rise to the occasion is Carlos Santana. You know, the first couple months of the season hitting below 200 and, you know, really rebounded in a big way. He's drawn his walks all year. In fact, he could become the first Indian to lead the big leagues in walks since Jack Graney. Everybody remembers that 1919 season from Jack Graney. You know, Carlos has really, really stepped to the forefront here again. Is it as simple as the move to first base? Just more comfortable with that position and not so not having to be so focused on the defensive work at third base? That would seem to be the easiest explanation for what we've seen from him the last couple months of the season.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously so many things that go into it, but that is, you can draw a line in his game log from the last time he played catcher to where he is now, and that's where the statistical split is. That's where it exists. So I don't think there's any question that changing roles from that third baseman slash backup catcher to everyday first baseman, I think that was a huge contributing factor just for his comfort level, knowing he was going to be in the field every day, you know, not having to worry about that defensive side as much. And then on top of that, all the work he put in at third base, you can see how it's translated into his defense at first. He's actually, based on some advanced metrics, been one of the better first basemen they've had there in years. So I think that has played a big role. And you know, anyone who's looking at his batting average isn't realizing, you know, how much value he's had for this team over the last this season and for the last few months specifically. He's been one of the most productive players in the big leagues in terms of his overall worth.
Well, the rotation, the work of Santana and Brantley has been about all the offense they've had for the past month on a consistent basis anyway, and it's the rotation that's really kept them, the fact that we're even talking about them as a contender in the final stretch is a credit to that rotation. And the guy who doesn't get as much attention because it's Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, and Salazar. You know, those guys have been the main linchpins, and you think about it, and they're all right-handed. and you look at what T.J. House has done, and you wonder, I mean, is this guy the left-hander that they're going to need in that rotation for 2015? He's certainly come on strong here the last couple months. His control has improved considerably, 41 strikeouts and 7 walks over his last 7 starts. You know, House went from a guy just kind of on the fringes to a guy now you look at it, you think, well, they might really have something here.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. I mean, you can find all these unique little streaks, you know, historically, but he's had 3 starts in a row with at least 7 innings, no walks, and no more than 1 earned run allowed. And, you know, 3 in a row is the longest streak of any pitcher in baseball history. He's tied that. You know, again, it's a kind of one of those unique pitching line streaks, but the last 2 guys to do it were a couple guys named David Price and Greg Maddux. So just that kind of shows, you know, in a short stretch, you know, what he can do at his best. But, you know, over the long haul this year, he's really developed into just a reliable guy who you can put in the back end of that rotation, an extremely coachable guy who, you know, Mickey Callaway, the pitching coach, has really enjoyed working with and seen evolve from a prospect that nearly pitched his way out of the farm system to a guy who's now been a key member of this rotation this year. So, you know, he's definitely an intriguing guy going forward. You know, as you're mapping out the rotation for next year, you know, you could obviously look at the free agent market and see what could they do there potentially. But right now, you look at the 5 they have in place, might be the cheapest rotation in baseball and one of the best in the American League as things stand right now. So he's definitely an interesting part of that staff, and we'll be interested to see how he fits in going forward.
Well, just wait till next year. Clevelanders are well in tune with that.
Every year, right?
But there is certainly there's definitely something brewing in that rotation. That's good to see. But as far as 2014 goes, the likes of Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez and J.D. Martinez just really quashed those Central Division hopes here this past weekend. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank Jordan Bastian for joining us. I'm Anthony Cashman. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.